Genesis chapter 3, one of the most important chapters in the whole Bible because this is where sin enters the world. Genesis chapter 3, first book of the Bible, third chapter. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for being good to us. We pray you speak to us. Lord, we pray that you would reveal to us something we haven't known, that we didn't know when we walked in here. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, Charger game, what's the score? 24-0. We are losing. Oh, who are all the woo people that like New England? How many New England fans we got here? It's okay, brother. We still love you. We still love you. The people don't even want to sit next to you. We still love you. What's up, man? What's your name? Dan. Okay. Outside. Get Dan. Another note, the car outside. Y'all see the car outside? Okay, do y'all know Kasim Osgood, number 81? Okay, he goes to church here. That's his car. That's one of his cars. So he tricked it out. It's got a lot of verses on it. And the speakers inside are specifically so he can pump gospel music. That's why he has that car. So just to let you know. Kurt Russell was in a movie a while ago called Tombstone. How many of y'all saw the movie Tombstone with Kurt Russell? Very good. And basically, if you haven't seen it, Kurt Russell was playing Wyatt Earp, a lawman, and him and his two brothers moved to a little town called Tombstone. They were going to retire, and they were going to, you know, run a little bar and have a little gambling in the bar and just kind of settle down, no more shoot 'em ups, no more fighting, and they figured they were going to have a peaceful life. But in this town, there was a gang called the Cowboys, and I call them the Bloods because they had little red rags they hung around on their horses and that stuff. And they were just bad dudes, always starting trouble and beating people up and shooting people. And Wyatt Earp, Kurt Russell was just saying, listen, I'm retired. I'm not in that. I'm not in anybody's fight. And this little town had no real sheriff. I mean, he was a punk, and then the mayor was a punk. Everyone was a punk. And they were like, can you help us? Because this gang is taking over the town. And so he figured, you know, he could not do it. And then he saw one of his buddies called Doc Holliday, played by Val Kilmer. To me, he was the coolest brother in the whole show. He was hilarious. Amen? That dude was hilarious. I actually cried at the end when he died. It was so sad to me because he was such a good dude. And he had a big heart. But he had problems. One, he had an alcoholic issue. He drank the whole movie. He was drunk or hungover the whole movie. His eyes, see how red his eyes are? They were red the whole movie. He was a chain smoker. All he did the whole movie was drink, gamble, and smoke, and then shoot people every now and then. But his biggest problem was this woman right here, Kate. She was a she-devil in the flesh. She was evil. Now, for every she-devil, there's a what? There's a he-dummy. So he was a he-dummy as well, but that's another story. But his problem was he was smoking and drinking, and he had cirrhosis of the liver. He had cirrhosis of the eyes, cirrhosis of the lips. His whole body was cirrhosized, and he was dying the whole movie. And he was coughing up blood. Blood was coming out of his nose. He was just jacked up in the whole movie. But the whole time, what does she do? She's feeding him cigarettes. She's feeding him vodka. She's feeding him gin. She's a... It's okay, baby. Here you go. Because the more he gambled, the more money he won, and the more money she got. Matter of fact, there was a time in the movie where he was laying in bed, and the doctor came and said, he needs to rest. And what does she do? Lights up a cigarette and puts it in his mouth. He can't even put the cigarette in his own mouth. That's how sick he was. And she put the cigarette in his own mouth, and he says, you're the best man a woman ever had, or you're the Antichrist. She was evil. But why was he so dumb? He had a blurred image. He couldn't see. We're doing a study called Image is Everything. And every single one of us was made in the image of God. Every single one of us was made to reflect the glory of God. We were made to be an individual personality. We were made to have the authority and have dominion over something on this earth. We were made to be God's friend, and we were made to be eternal. But because we are sinners, we have a blurred image. What does that mean? Is that, one, we don't see who we are real clearly. It's kind of vague of who God made us to be and what God wants us to be. We're always trying to figure that out. Number two, we don't see God that clearly. Matter of fact, the longer you walk with God and the closer you get to God, the more clear God becomes to you. But right now, we don't really see him for all it's worth. That's why some people can't worship God, because they really don't get it. They don't see God. But when we really see him, we will not be standing up. We will be on our face, because we'll see him for who he is. If you ever hear of pastors, and I'll talk about pastors, bishops, cardinals, and it's not necessarily Catholic bishops, bishops, overseers of churches, from the Pope on down, all those men and women who are in the clergy or walk with God for a long time, if you ever hear someone say, I walk with God and I'm very holy and I'm this, they don't get it. Why? Because the closer you really get to God and the more clearly you really see God, the more you realize how sinful you are and the more humble you become. Now, people get prideful because they have Bible knowledge. But let me tell you something. Pride does not come from having God knowledge. Because when you have God knowledge, you realize how sinful and how inadequate you are and how graceful God is. And the only thing you can become when you see God is humble. And so our image is blurred. And so what we're going to talk about today is two things. One, how our image got blurred in the first place. The devil talked to Adam and Eve and got them to go in the car. The devil is talking to you, telling you stuff. He's blurring your image. He's blinding you from the truth. So we're going to talk about how we got blurred in the first place. And number two, we're going to talk about how your eyes can be opened and how you can see God for who he is, how you can see his plan for your life even better, and how you can see and understand who you are more clearly. Once you understand how the devil deceived you, you can understand how to become undeceived. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Everyone say serpent. In the Bible, names were very significant because a name had an indication of who you were. And it kind of gave you an identification about your character. Ladies, if you were in a Starbucks, Vons at school, and some guy wanted to get your digits, and he came to you and said, hey, girl, what's your name? And you asked him his name, and he said to you, my name is Player. Chicklets. What would you do? Laugh. You would say, my name is Flojo, and I'm out of here. And you would run. Why? If he says his name is Player, how could you ever trust that dude? And by the way, ladies, some guys say that to you, you just don't know it. They say it to you by their body language. They say it to you by their tone, and you don't hear it. Your friends see it, and they go, why is she with that fool? Or why is he with that fool? Because you're blind. Everybody else sees it. If the devil's name is liar, destroyer, father of lies, murderer, accuser, those are his names, why would you talk to him? Why would you trust him? Why would you take his advice on how to dress, how to talk, who to hang out with, how to party, how to have fun? Why would you let him lead your life? Those are his names. He has no good intention for you, except to destroy you. So it says here that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he is a mastermind genius. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than your mother and your father. He's a genius. Let's look at verse 1. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yo, girl, what's your name? Has God indeed said you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said you shall not touch, nor shall you eat lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. For God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Number one in your notes, you and I were made to be individual personalities, but your blurred image will create an I am imposter out of you. The devil will blind you and tell you you can be God on your own. You're in Genesis. Turn to the very next book, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. God is talking to Moses. Moses is 80 years old. Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's home being educated. He spent 40 years in the desert as a shepherd being pastorized. And I say pastorized, I mean pastor, like a pastor of a church, rised. He was turned into a pastor. So God spent 40 years educating his mind, 40 years educating his heart. And at 80 years old, God calls him into the ministry. God spent 80 years preparing Moses. How old are you? Look what he says. He says, go talk to Pharaoh and free my people. Verse 13, Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say? God, when I go to the Jews and say, I spoke to your God, and I know you've been in slavery for 400 years, I'm going to talk to Pharaoh, I'm going to get you released. And they say, well, if you spoke to God, what is his name? Because we don't know his name. God was known as El Shaddai, Almighty God. He didn't have a personal name yet. And God said, hey, look at the next verse in your Bible. It says, tell him this, I am who I am. Everyone say, I am who I am. Imagine someone telling you that's their name. What's your name? I am who I am. If you ever call someone up and says on the phone and say, where are you? And they said to you, I am where I am. I'm here. You would think, why are you being smart, Alec? Well, who are you? I am who I am. What really God was saying was, I always was, I always will be, and I am today. Last week we talked about creation. And we talked about that the universe, I want you to imagine the universe is in a basketball. The basketball is very big, but the universe is in a self-contained area. It's a very big area. And the universe is expanding. Scientists know that, but the Bible already told us that long before scientists discovered it. The Bible says God stretches out the heavens like a curtain. And what do scientists observe? That the heavens are being stretched out. Matter of fact, the whole Big Bang Theory came from the concept that because the universe is expanding, it must have been small at one time. So they put it in reverse and came down to almost nothing. In their minds, almost nothing. And actually, it was nothing. But the heavens are being stretched out. So I want you to imagine the universe is very big, but it's being stretched out. That's reality. That's a fact that scientists believe, and it is true. And so the universe is being expanded. And what God did is he created the universe, and he's expanding it. And within the universe, within this basketball, now becoming a beach ball, within this universe, he developed laws, scientific laws, to govern the universe. Gravity, electromagnetic laws, strong and weak, nuclear forces, biology, physics, chemistry, kinesiology for our bodies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He developed all these laws that govern everything in the universe. Time, he created time and put it in the universe to govern and measure when the universe and measure time in the universe. So God has all these laws within the universe. We live inside the universe, so we know those laws, and we live by those laws, and those laws are all we know. God exists outside the basketball. He is not limited by those laws. He submitted himself to them when he became Jesus. He became a man and said, I will submit myself to your laws and I will die on the cross. But God, the creator of the universe, was outside the basketball. He brought the basketball into existence. So when he says, I am that I am, what he's saying was, I never had a beginning. Things that begin, that whole concept of something starting was in the universe. When I created the universe, I created a beginning and an end. But before the universe was there, I was always was. I had no beginning. You and I can't understand that concept because we live inside the universe. But God says, I'm outside the universe. Those laws don't apply to me. I'm not limited by them. I voluntarily submit myself to them when I want to, but I live outside them. That's why I can perform miracles, because I can come in and interrupt those laws. And so God says, I am the beginningless beginner. I am the uncaused cause. I started everything, but I was not started. How? I live outside your universe. Your rules don't apply to me. So when he told Moses, go tell him I am that I am. Here's what the devil wants you to think. You could be your own I am. The devil wants you to think that you can exist all by yourself without God, do what you want to do, and that you can make your own rules, and that you are God all by yourself, and that everything you have is yours. And that you make your own decisions. And that you don't need to rely on God. You could do it by yourself. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. What does he tell Adam and Eve? Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. He says, Genesis 3, verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you will not die. God lied to you. He just is trying to intimidate you. Sin is not going to have any consequences. Verse 5, God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Some of you have an I am who I am mentality that you exist all by yourself, that you are not accountable to anyone. Matter of fact, you think that the money you have is yours. You think that your body is yours. You think your hair is yours. You think that your ideas are yours, your talents are yours, your car is yours, your clothes are yours. You really believe that. You really believe that the things you have and your future is all yours. You think your own life belongs to you. I don't know where you got that idea, but it ain't yours. I know some people are going, I don't get it. Well, whose is it? God's. God's. What does that mean? Well, let's just reverse it. Go home. Go to your little apartment, condo, dorm, your car, your tree, wherever it is you go. And say, God, I heard something very disturbing in church today. The preacher said that you own all this stuff. I happen to disagree. I just want to clarify, because before we move forward, I always want to make sure we're in agreement. All this stuff is mine. My body is mine. My money is mine. So I didn't know if you thought this stuff was yours, but I need to tell you it's mine. And God, you know, you can't do with it what you want. So don't think you can come in here and interrupt my life. Go tell God that. And by the way, God, you can't take this stuff. I earned it. I worked hard. Go tell God that. Now, before you do, don't do it while you're in here, because we don't want nothing to happen in this nice new building we just built. And tell your roommates they might want to leave before you do this. My point is this. You are not God. You are not going to be like God in the sense that you could call your own shots. You are not the great I am. He is the great I am. And what the devil wants you to think is that you could be an I am imposter. You could be independent contractor. And you could call on God when you need him. But most of the time you don't need him because you got this. Be careful. Be careful. Because you are not God. You need to acknowledge that everything you have belongs to God. And everything you have, God has given you. And anytime he wants, he can take it. Anytime he wants. And the only reason he hasn't is because he is very, very patient. And very gracious. And he loves you more than you know. And he blesses you more than you deserve, which means that you do not, I do not, we do not deserve what he gives us ever. The Bible said, we'll say by grace, grace is undeserved love. What does that mean? That you can never earn it. You can never get to a point where you say, I did all this good stuff, therefore I earned all this. Now, you can say it and you can believe it, but you're wrong. You know, there's people right now, as we sit here in this room, right now, in a dump, 35 minutes from here, over the border, sleeping in a dump in Tijuana. And some of you, in your arrogance, would say, too bad for them. I'm glad I don't have to be there. So am I. But I'm not there because I'm better. Oh, no. The only reason you're not there is because you weren't born there. And you had nothing to do with that. You need to be praising God Almighty that you were born here. And praising God Almighty. And some of you may complain about your parents, complain about your house. You don't know complaint. Go down there. Go down there and live for one night. Thank God. Why did he do that for you? But he would like you to acknowledge that every now and then, that he did it for you. And not think it's all about you. The devil wants you to think it's on you. Number two in your notes. God has made us to be a moral mirror, and a blurred image will become, make you into a self-appointed morality maker. You will become a self-appointed morality maker. In other words, you're going to become someone that makes your own rules. Look at number Verse 4. Verse 4 said, the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. For God knows in the day you eat, you'll be like God, and you will know good and evil on your own. God has determined what good and evil, right and wrong is. What the devil wants to do? The devil wants you to become your own God and say, I can determine right and wrong. I know what's best for me. I'm 22 years old. I graduated high school. I'm getting ready to graduate college. I know enough. Let me even make it worse. I'm 50 years old. I got grandchildren. I know right and wrong. Ooh, be careful. God did not create you to make that decision by yourself. You and I are not qualified. God says, I make you to reflect my holiness. I have given you a word to guide and direct your steps, to be a lamp to your feet, to renew your mind. I will speak to you right and wrong. Your job is to simply obey me. That's your job. That's what I'm talking about, the Bible now. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. When you start thinking I can do my own thing, imagine if every single one of you in here, just think about this for a minute. Imagine if every single one of you in here did what you really wanted to do. In other words, you slapped the people you really wanted to slap. You did physical things to the people you really wanted to do physical things to. You said what you really wanted to say. Imagine if your mouth spoke everything your mind thought. Can I get a show of hands? How many of you would have to run away from everybody you ever saw? Amen? Why? Because we are evil. We are wicked. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. We don't even know our own wickedness. Some of you right now are saying, I'm not wicked. That in of itself is a prideful statement. I'm a good person. Woo, you are. Compared to who? It's always compared to someone else. The devil says, you don't need God. You can make that decision on your own. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Dear God, I'm going to do my own thing. God says, okay, go ahead. Look at number 3 in your notes. God has given us the authority to rule. A blurred image leads to a diminished level of authority. Because we have a blurred image, and because we're acting on our own to do what we want to do, what's going to happen is that we are going to lose all the opportunities God has given us. Let's read verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked when they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? Everyone say, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I want you to imagine Adam and Eve are walking with God and each other. They're clothed with light. They can't even see their physical body. Some people believe, and I happen to agree with it, but that's another story. Why? Because I believe they were reflecting the glory of God. And even now, in this form, your body right now, you are emitting light. It's called biophotonics. Go look at it up on the internet. Biophotonics, the amount of light that your body is emitting. And by the way, the Bible says you're the light of the world. He's literal and spiritual. It's deep. But when, before sin, they believed that their body was emitting all this light and they were reflecting the glory of God. They didn't see their nakedness. Not only that, there was no shame to their nakedness. It was no big deal. They're walking with God, clothed with light. Eve's perfect, Adam's perfect, no sin, they're not going to die. They're walking with God. All of a sudden, they do exactly what the devil tells them. And what happens? They're hiding from God. Why? Because the devil will tell you, do your own thing, be your own God, make your own decisions, grab for more. Greed is a desire to have something that you don't need. Grab for more, more, more power, control, and then what happens? You lose it. Because when you do, when you grab for more than God has for you, in the end, at some point, God is going to resist you and you are going to lose. You are grabbing for what you don't need. And so the devil's going to constantly instigate, go do what you want to do. Do it your way. Make your own rules. Get more and more and more. Don't worry about rules and everybody else. It's all about you. You, 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 you. That's satanic. That's satanic. That's what the devil's telling you. Oh, by the way, the devil is telling that to you very nicely. Hey, honey. Or, how you doing, girl? That's satanic. There was a man named John Gotti. I don't know how many of y'all know John Gotti. He was the crime boss, mafia in New York City. John Gotti was a hero in New York. A hero in New York. $1,000 suits, hair, smooth brother, Italian dude, mafia boss, big time, big cheese, powerful, powerful dude. When he would go to court and be, if he ever won on any acquittal of any of his indictments, there was thousands of people, black people, Italian people, Puerto Rican people, white people, all kinds of people outside the courtroom cheering because the crime boss got off. Because he was a hero. John Gotti ended up going to prison and dying in prison of cancer. He's dead. He went from all of that. He crashed. Why? Because you can't fight God and win. You can't do things your way and win. And I promise you, I don't know y'all, but I promise you none of you had his power and his money. I promise you, none of you killed people like him. At least I hope none of y'all killed none of like him. He was a powerful man in the world. But you know what God said? You reap what you sow. What the devil's telling you is do your own thing. Do your own thing. He's going to prop you up. He's going to pump you up, tell you everything you want to hear. But sooner or later, you are going to crash. Why? Let me read something to you. I think it's in your notes. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. I want to read something to you about the devil himself. I want to read something to you about the devil himself. Because before the devil was Satan, as you and I know him, he was an angel in heaven. The devil started out as an angel in heaven, guarding the throne of God. And he got greedy. And let me tell you what he said and what happened to him. Chapter 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations. For you said in your heart, everyone say, I will. I will ascend into heaven. Say, I will. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Say, I will. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Say, I will. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Say, I will. And then he says, I will be like the Most High God. And God said, I don't think so. And shot him out of heaven like lightning. The devil, I will be like God. Oh, really? It is not any surprise that devil will be telling you to try to be like God. Why? Because that's what's in his heart. That's what's in his heart. Be like God. You can be like God. Take control. You don't need to be bound by the Bible. You don't need to listen to that preacher. You don't need to go to church, serve, give money, pray, raise your hands. You don't need to do all that. Okay. What'd he get? Hell. What'd he get? Hell. And he wants to take you there. Number four. We were made to be God's friend. You and I were made to be God's friend. And a blurred image will destroy your God relationship. A blurred image will destroy your God relationship. God created you to be his friend. He wants to hang out with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you vision. He wants to give you joy and peace and patience. He wants to give you a sense of security, a sense of purpose, a sense of identity. And by the way, all of that is compatible with how you were created. The devil did not create you. And your creator is the one who gives you your purpose. And you can spend your whole life trying to discover your purpose on your own when God is saying, I could just tell you. And I could tell it to you based on how I created you. But if you don't even know how you were created, how are you going to know what your purpose is? You won't. You may stumble on it by accident. Maybe. But why waste all that time and energy? Let's read chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and his wife, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Everyone say they hid themselves. Say it one more time. What? God makes you perfect? God is walking with you? And now you are hiding from him? Here's what the devil said. If you do that, it's fun. That fruit, look at it. It'll make you wise. If you sleep with that girl, it'll make you cool. If you buy that ring, it'll make you cool. If you buy that car, if you get that job, if you walk like this, if you dress like this, if you talk like this, it'll make you cool. Go ahead. And so you go, yeah. I do got a kind of a goofy walk. Let me get a little bop in my walk. Look, walk hard. You see that? You ever see someone walking and when they see you, they change their walk? And when they're talking, you come and they change their talk? Isn't that a trip? Why? Because they're being told something that's a lie. By a show of hands, how many of y'all ever been drunk and it was fun? Y'all are like, can I raise my hand in church today? A lot of y'all are little drunk heads up here in the church. How many of y'all ever been brokenhearted and had heartache pain? How many of y'all gossiped and it was fun? It felt good to talk behind someone's back. Y'all who are not raising your hand are straight up liars. Matter of fact, how many of y'all lied before? Go ahead, raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to raise my hand. Okay, don't participate then. You know, the Bible says that sin is fun for a season. Oh, it's fun. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. I know that's the wrong melody, but, you know, help a brother out. Yeah. Don't be laughing at me, man. Y'all know that song? If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Why? Because my feelings are more important than what's right. What the devil wants you to, he wants to entice you with your feelings, with your emotions. He wants to convince you that you deserve to get what you want. Where did that come from? Matter of fact, not only do I deserve to get what I want, God owes to give to me what I want. Where did that come from? That's not in the Bible. That is straight from the devil. God don't owe you nothing. Why would he create you and say, ask me for anything, be your genie? Where'd that come from? That's not in the Bible. That's your imagination. I'm sorry. That's the devil talking to you. He wants to be your friend, though. He wants to walk with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to show you why you are here. He wants to show you your gifts, your talents. He wants to take your burdens. You know, there's two girls right now as we stand here, they're 16 years old, and they are in the foster care system. They come to church here, and right now they are being held as prostitutes in an apartment here in San Diego. Right now, as you sit here. We're working with the police and trying to help them out. They're 16 years old. Right now. I don't know what kind of problems you got, but I doubt that's your problem. You know what God says? I want you to give me your problems. Stop whining and complaining. Bring your problems over here. And if you don't bring your problems to God, you can't complain about it because you choose to hold it. Give it to him. Give it to him. There's a friend of mine I have, and he's a very successful guy, very articulate guy, knows a lot of important people. And we see each other talk, what's up, blah, 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 blah. And as soon as I talk about God, the brother becomes a track star. Hey, all right, brother. Hey, God bless you. And he starts walking away. I am not lying. He physically has to remove himself from my space He thinks that if he comes to church and God gets his life, something bad is going to happen. People think that. If I get saved, I'm going to become nerdy. No, 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 no. You're already nerdy. Not for real. You're already clueless. You really are. Let me tell you something. How many of y'all admit to it? When you got saved and you started walking with God, you realize, man, I was clueless. Can anybody admit to that? Clueless. I dated clueless people. I said clueless stuff. I watched clueless. I was loser. That was me. Can anybody admit to that? Lost. You think, man, I ain't going, that God stuff is all, I ain't no, I'm cool. You're cool? What's up? That's how you talk? That's cool. I'm not saying that you can't be a Christian and talk like that, but what I'm saying is that you think if I get God, I'm going to be, let me tell you something, you can't be more cool than you are when you walk with God. Why? Because God shows you, why? I mean, we're clapping, we're Christians, but the non-Christians are going, well, wow, what does that mean? What are y'all clapping at? Here's what we're clapping at, is because when God comes in your life, all your talent, all your potential, all your dreams start to happen. All the stuff that you can't do starts to happen. That's why. And you start to understand stuff you never learned. You start to see stuff no one ever showed you. You start to know things you never read. You can do stuff you never practiced. All of a sudden, this supernatural stuff, this God that lives outside the universe, reaches into your universe and says, watch this. And people in your life go, how's that happen? And you should say, I don't know. How did this happen? I don't know. We went to the bank about this building. They said, you don't have enough money. I said, I know. We still don't have enough money. It's God. And when God, when you get your program with God and he becomes your friend, you know the Bible says there's no greater love that a man can have for another man than to die for his friend. You know what Jesus did to you? He died for you. What does the devil want to do? Destroy your life, because that's his name. Lie to you, because that's his name. Murder you and everything in your life that's good, because that's his name. Accuse you in front of God, because that's his name. What does God want to do? Love you, because he is love. Shine light, he is light. He died for you, he wants to save you, because he's a savior. I mean, hell, heaven. Let me think about that. Pain and misery or joy. And now it doesn't mean you won't have drama, but you will have peace amidst your drama. I don't know how many of y'all ever been back east and been in a snowstorm. How many of you have never been in a snowstorm before? Raise your hand. What? You've never been in a snowstorm? Raise your hand just one more time. What? Can you believe this? Look at my father and mother. Can you believe this? How many of you have never been in like a thunder and lightning, rain coming down like buckets? You've never been in that. How? It's impossible. What you need to do before you die is you need to go back east when there's a snowstorm. I am not lying. And you need to go in. Listen to me. Stop laughing. Listen to me. You need to go in a house where it's real warm and the fire is crackling. Pop, crack, 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 boom, 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 chicka, chicka, chow. And you need to sit in this house. And you need to listen to the snowflakes drop. You need to listen to the snowflakes drop. And then you go outside and you can hear the snowflakes drop. Can someone say amen if you know what I'm talking about? You can hear go in the house and see the snow. What's the point? The point is that your life can be so chaotic, but your heart is like being in the house. It's okay. Stuff can be falling apart. 4 weeks before we had our first service, I got a phone call. And the basic message of the phone call is we may not be able to open up for 3 more months. I was like, it's a snowstorm. I hear the snowflakes. I was so scared right now, but I still hear the snowflakes. Give me a shovel. Only your friend can do that. Only God can protect you. Now, if you want to do the snow thing by yourself, you're going to die. Go ahead and die. My father and mother sit right there. When I was about, I don't know, a little kid, we went on a camping trip. We went on a whole lot of camping trips, and we went with my uncle, my father's brother, and he would always say, it's only 5 more minutes. And we would drive like 5 days. And one day we were going to this little cabin. It was like a 1-bedroom, no electricity, no heat, no nothing. It was just a wood, no insulation. 10 kids under 10, 4 adults, grandma and uncle, and we got snuck in snow this deep, and we had to walk how many miles through the woods? Finger frostbite, socks frozen stiff. That's how you walk with God, go through life without God. You will find yourself way out in the middle of nowhere at night, by the way, walking through the snow. Oh, brother, that's what the devil wants for you. He wants to destroy you. Why? Because he got destroyed. Number 5, we were made to be eternal beings. A blurred image will lead you into eternal separation from God. God created all of you to have a relationship with him forever. And it's up to you to receive his forgiveness that you may be with him forever. You can choose to be eternally separated from him. How many of you ever been, I think I asked you this, hungover? Keep your hand up. How many of y'all been heartbroken? How many of you have been jealous? How many of you have been envious? How many of you have been just depressed, discouraged, angry, feeling like a failure? Just keep your hands up because we've all been there. Amen? I want you to take all those emotions and put them in a bottle. Okay? Seal it. Then I want you to think of the worst smells you ever smelted in your life. Okay? Right after you eat breakfast at your cafeteria, you know that smell? And then put it in the bottle. And then I want you to think of the worst screams you've ever heard and put it in a bottle. And the worst physical pain you have and put it in a bottle. And I want you to shake it up and I want you to drink it. That is a taste of hell. God says, I'm giving you these little warnings that there is pain you can have that you don't want. I'm giving you these little warnings that being alienated from all my comfort is not a good place. That's hell. And I'm also giving you the warning that my son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, is offering you freedom away from that. Look what it says in verse 10. Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not? And the man said, the woman you gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. It's her fault. See, it's in the Bible right there. It's in the Bible. Ladies, you're not the devil. You're just evil. You're just as evil as guys. We're evil too. There was a guy, a preacher, preaching at a church, and the church was packed. It was like a little country church, 300 people, pews, windows on the side. He was preaching. And all of a sudden, these people in the lobby started screaming. And then the doors to the lobby opened and all the people turned around and they started jumping out the window, running out the church. Even the pastor left. The devil was walking down the aisle. All this white scummy stuff was flying off from him. He was screaming and everybody was screaming, running out of the church. There's one guy sitting in the front row, just sitting there, arms crossed, looking at his fingernails, chewing gum. Devil comes and says, you know who I am? Oh yeah, you're Satan. You know what I could do to you? You know how scared you need to be to me right now? How come you're not scared of me? He says, brother, I've been married to your sister for 10 years. You can't do nothing to me. She ain't done to me. Listen, I want to be an equal opportunity bagger. So ladies and fellas, we're all evil. We all got a little devil in us. Amen? Amen. Adam blames the woman. Look what the woman says. Verse 13, the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Verse 22, the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of the Eden to till it, the ground for which he was taken. And he drove out the man and he placed cherubim. Cherubim is plural for cherub, and a cherub was an angel. He placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which he turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. You know what God says? God says, I told you not to sin. I told you not to eat from that tree. Matter of fact, that's the only thing I told you not to do, and you did it. You got to go. You can't come back. Don't think that you won't die and go to hell. And why do people go to hell? It's because they reject the salvation of God. God says, I'm telling you you're a sinner. I'm telling you there's a hell. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a little taste through those things I mentioned. And then my son's going to come down. He's going to subject himself to the laws of your universe. He's going to die and rise from the dead. He's going to prove that he has power over your laws. He's going to overcome death that you can't overcome. And I'm going to offer you opportunity to be saved through my son. So you could either be saved through my son, or you can believe your blurred vision and think you could do it on your own. But I'm telling you, just like I kicked Adam and Eve out, and just like they did die, and I told them they would, so will you. So in a minute, we're going to pray. You're going to have an opportunity to ask. That was supposed to be a meaningful illustration. You thought that was funny? That dude is gone forever. He's screaming. He's crying. He's in pain right now, and you just laugh at him. He's depressed. His family miss him so much. And he's grinding his teeth because he's in hell, and you just laughed at him. That's so sad. You know what God says? I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want that to happen to you. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness, and we thank you so much that you do love us. And dear God, you know everybody here. You really do know their pain, their emptiness, their struggle. You know the things they worry about. You know how many people in here right now are thinking about their life and how much they need to get right with God, but they're scared. They don't know what it's going to mean.